Well, 2 days away. I hope you're ready. And when I say that from a worldly standpoint. Okay? Because most of the preparation and getting ready for Christmas that we do is a worldly thing, isn't it? Okay? Buying presents and fretting over getting the right present, or fretting over do I get a present, or got all these folks coming over, you know, what I cook and all that kind of stuff. A lot of things that can cause a lot of stress. But being ready for Christmas on the spiritual side, it's one that we should be ready every day. See, while we get excited about Jesus' birth, we get excited about the fact that that's what we celebrate, really we should be celebrating Jesus every day. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Because it's all of that, it's all of who Jesus is, it's that what we need to be celebrating. I love the Christmas story, and I love the scriptures that go with it. And so you'll find most of the time at Christmas or most any other kind of holiday that my nostalgia kind of comes out, and I want to do the Christmas thing. So I want to read something that I think we almost take this for granted, and that is the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus' birth. I mean, some 700 years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied that he was coming. And I just want to read three scriptures to you just to kind of reiterate. I'm sure everybody's familiar with them, but I think it's good to keep familiarizing ourselves. Isaiah 7:14 said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." I mean, even back then, God said, who's going to give birth? Where he would be born? And it's just kind of amazing to me. You know, we love it when a prophet comes in here and speaks. You know, I'm thinking of primarily like David McDonald, but we have other prophetic folks that come in. And you love it whenever they speak into your life and they give you a word, you know, of what God is trying to say or wanting to say or try to direct or those kind of things. And I wonder, because I think sometimes even then we kind of walk away from that thinking, I kind of hope it comes true. You know, I kind of hope he's hearing from God. But I kind of wonder what these people back then thought. You know, what is he talking about? Here's the one that would cause me to scratch my head. A virgin shall conceive. Okay? That's just kind of a big deal. But I wonder what they thought back then when they were hearing these scriptures and these prophets were saying these things. But now I want us to hear the scriptures of the fulfillment of these promises. So I've asked some guys and a lady, excuse me, to read some of these. So Lindsay, will you start off with? Can you?
Before you read, can you tell them what you're reading? Yes. Luke 1:26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Approaching her, the angel said, "Shalom, favored lady, Adonai is with you." She was deeply troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Look, you will become pregnant, you will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great, he will be called Son of the Most High God. Adonai God will give him the throne of his forefather David, and he will rule the house of Jacob forever. There will be no end to his kingdom." "How can this be?" asked Mary of the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come over you. The power of God Most High will cover you. Therefore, the Holy Child born to you will be called the Son of God."
Now, I don't know about you, but I think if an angel showed up that I kind of knew it was an angel and telling me not to be afraid, I probably would be a little bit. But then for him to go on and say what he said to Mary, that's a little over the top. So, Jeremy.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, a time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
That's 2:1-7. Luke 2:1-7.
Luke 2:8-14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Luke 2:15-20. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, guys. What a story it is. I mean, to think that it was foretold 700 years before it took place. And then to see the reality of it coming to life. But the story's not complete without the whole life of Jesus. That was just the beginning. It wasn't just his birth, but his life. And of course, we celebrate, we honor, I guess, his death and his resurrection because we know what that means to us. But his life was a testimony to us how to live, how to react to things. You know, it's kind of funny. You don't have to be taught how to react. You can react. But can you react the way that Jesus reacted? You know, and that's what God has called us to do. That baby grew up to be a man. And that man laid his life down for us. We'll celebrate what is known as Jesus' birth in 2 days, on December 25th. But I don't know if you've ever done much reading or checking, and people a whole lot smarter than me have looked at it, and I was just kind of reading some of these things this week, but they say that it's not real likely that he was actually born in December. But a couple of things that just kind of amazed me. One of them was that this rabbi was speaking and talking about it. He said one of the things that give the date away is the fact that the shepherds were in the fields overnight. And he said, number one, they wouldn't be in there in December. But he said most likely the times that the shepherds are in the fields with their flocks at night is when they have what they call the lambing seasons, when they're sheep are giving birth to new lambs. And he said that's normally in the spring. So you depend on who you read, they'll say from spring to kind of late summer maybe. But here's what I thought was so interesting about that. The shepherds were out in the field watching over their lambs being born into the world. And the Lamb of God was being born in the world at the same time. I mean, to me, that was just kind of neat. Another one says something about the reason December 25th became the day was because it was a pagan celebration of what the birth of the sun, S-U-N, sun, and that they wanted to use that as a way to get them kind of interested in Jesus and his life and all. So, but you know, doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter what day it was. We celebrate it on the 25th of December. But as I said earlier, we need to be celebrating it all year long because it's just not the birth. It's just not the birth. It's his life. It's the way he lived. It's the fact that he died for us. See, the important part to me is that God loved us enough that he would have his son born, grow up to be a man, live a life for us to pattern our lives after, and then realize the fact that he laid it down for us. You really can't find anything about the date of Jesus' birth in the Bible. You know, anything about celebrating his birth. But if you kind of look, the thing that, when you look at it, at least to me, when you look at it, the thing that comes out is his death and resurrection. And he tells us when we do communion that as often as you do this in remembrance of me, remembering what he did. And so I found this commentary about a little scripture in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, where Paul, he says, let us therefore celebrate the festival. And the commentary says this, that Paul took a very deep and penetrating view of what the Christian life is, how it is sustained, and what it demands. Therefore, says he, let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread represents sin. And so to get sin out of our life, and this scripture right here that Paul is talking about getting rid of the leaven, getting rid of the leaven in the bread. It says, therefore, takes us back to the words before it. And what are these? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, because of that sacrifice, to us is granted the power, and on us is laid imperatively the obligation to make life a festival and to purge ourselves. Now, I like making life a festival because we kind of, you know, festival, woohoo, that's a lot of fun. So what the commentary is saying here is that that's what Paul says. Your life should be a festival. Your life should be something that you're kind of on top of the world, that you're always celebrating, you're always enjoying because of what Jesus did for us. Not just on the 25th of December or whatever day you might decide to make yours, but every day, because that's who he is. We celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. I don't think we need to get hung up on the date. I don't think that matters. We have grown up with it being the 25th, and as far as I live, it'll probably be the 25th, and thereafter if people are still around. But the point of it is that God loved us enough to send his son, to be born. And as a friend of mine and some of ours, Lynn Reddick, used to say, in an earth suit. In an earth suit. So that he could show that you can live a life worthy of him. You quite often hear this time of the year about, well, Steve's got it right here on the side of his head. I read it a while ago. Get your Mary on. Okay? Get your Mary on. We ought to be the ones that's spreading joy and spreading love and getting our Mary on and having our celebration, our feast, or our festive attitude or whatever, because of who lives in us, because we've been down a road of in a place that God put his hand on us and called us into his kingdom. Alexa was talking this morning in prayer and saying how this is kind of, and I might not get exactly right, but this is kind of the first Christmas that she's really celebrated Christmas, knowing what it means, in a long time. To some of us, that's strange, because we've always kind of done it. But there are people in this world that, though they may know, they know Christmas, they don't know the Christ in Christmas. And the way that we display that is to get our festive self on. Be the Mary, be the joy, be the love, Because that's why God did that. That's why God sent Jesus. It's because of his love for us. Can I let you in on a little secret? It ain't about us. It ain't about us. It's about him. And if we can live our life to the best we can, giving our glory to him, whatever comes your way, give it to him. That's what Christmas and every other day of the year is all about.